हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service. Okay. Page 38. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, one has to hear from a bona fide spiritual master. This is favorable for advancing in devotional service. According to this process, one hears, chants, remembers, and engages in deity worship, acting under the directions of the spiritual master. These are the essential primary activities of devotional service. Devotional service must not be executed for some material purpose. One should not even have a desire to merge into the absolute truth. One has to render such service out of love only. Ahaituki apratihata. Devotional service must be without ulterior motives. Then material conditions cannot check it, right? So if you have an ulterior motive, then that means the material energy can check your advancement. You want something from material energy, then you're invested in the material energy, she can create problem for you, you know, and block your devotional service. But you don't have an ulterior motive, then she can't block that because there's nothing to gain from her. Does that make sense? No? Yeah. Yes, you take shelter of Krishna and the material energy. You know, or mixed devotional service means you're doing a bit of both. But it's about Krishna. When you call it mixed devotional service, it's about Krishna. But due to habit, there's still some dealings and impressions and methods that one uses that are still from the material platform. Does that make sense? But otherwise, one's giving that up.
But if we don't keep the association of devotee, the mixed devotional service, we can...
Yes, we can go back the other way. Because that's why it says here, beginning it's about associating with the advanced devotees. That's the whole point. That's what makes everything move forward. So everybody's always associating with an advanced devotee. Right? And so there's no point at which that stops. Right? Means we'll be associating with you know, our spiritual authorities, they with the previous up to Parampara and Rupa Goswami, they're under the protection of Lalita serving Srimati Radharani, right? She is the devotee, she's the shelter of Krishna. But we see Krishna in that mood in Vrindavan, then there he serves the gopis. So he's taking shelter in them. That's the uniqueness of the Parakya Rasa. The Swakya is not like that, because that's half. You know, you're doing some service and you're accepting some service. Okay. But Braj means 100% it's about serving Krishna, and Krishna is 100% about serving the Braj buses. So it's a unique thing. So there isn't such a thing as that, you know, at some point I'm the big guy and that's it. That's only in the material world you can be the big guy. You know, as Bhavananda Prabhu once in a class was making the point is, yeah, you can be the big guy. Everyone else will go back to Godhead and you'll still be here being the big guy. You know, so... Gradually, one can rise to the platform of spontaneous devotional service. A child is sent to school by force to receive an education, because a kid doesn't want to go to school. They'd rather play all day. Right? You know, how do you say, Peter Pan being the you know, archetypical kid, right? But when he gets a little taste of education at an advanced age, he automatically participates and becomes a learned scholar, right? So that's that because he automatically participates. That's spontaneous devotional service. You automatically do, not because it should be done, you know, intellectually it's the right thing to do. It's because you like to do it. So those things that are connected with Krishna and pure devotion to please Krishna, that then being liking to do that, that's called pure devotion. That's called spontaneous devotional service. Right? It may be pure devotional service, but because it should be done, then that will be the step-by-step dividing. So the difference is just in the mood. It's not in spontaneous, means, as we discussed earlier, just doing whatever you like. Because that spontaneity, we're the center of attention. Well, spontaneous devotional service giving here, raganuga, means it's anuga in the platform of rag, means my attachment to Krishna, I'm following that. I have an attachment to Krishna, I want to serve Krishna like that, I'm doing that. I want to serve, you know, I want to chant, so I'm chanting. I want to remember, I'm remembering, I want to serve the deities, I'm doing that. I want to serve the Vaishnavas. It's not about oneself. That's whimsical. That comes up just to make variety in a boring world. Right? So that guy who's whimsical, then when there's nothing important to do, then a group of friends likes the whimsical guy because he'll come up with stupid things to do and it'll be a variety. But if they're trying to get something done, he's a disaster. Because you'll say, do this, oh, I thought I would do that, you know? You come in and everything's upside down. Oh, I just thought it would be... So many times you see that. You know, cook this preparation like that. Yeah. You cooked the last time, it was really good. You know, we're having guests, I want to cook this. Yeah, great. They come out and the preparation's changed. And it's not good. You know, and the guest is, you know, being, what do you call it? Cultured, so that, yeah, you know, it's okay. You know, take more, no, okay. You know, like that. And, you know, whatever it is that they say. And like that. And then afterwards, and you ask him, why did you do that? Oh, but I thought it would be better. It was like this. No, I wanted you to cook that preparation. It was good. You know? So that's whimsical. That's not spontaneous. Spontaneous is you know the rules, you follow the rules. Right? But you're not following because it's a rule. You're following because it pleases Krishna. When you follow it because it's a rule, because, that's vaidhi. When you follow it because that's what pleases Krishna and you want to please Krishna, that's what you do. Right? Because otherwise you can say, no, but then you're restricting, that's vaidhi, you have to be able to do whatever. So does that mean that, you know, today we'll serve Radharani and then tomorrow we'll serve one of the others? Well, it's just, you know, being spontaneous, Prabhu. Does that make sense? Yes. Serious.
It's a simple point, like Prabhupada explained in 3 or 4 lines, that the whole modern education system, there are hundreds and hundreds of theories, just taking one bit of it. And extending theory after theory, and then there are the other theories which are exactly opposite of the one side.
Right.
And then they keep on going, and then never come to a
conclusion.
Balanced conclusion.
And it's all about themselves.
Yes.
It's that this particular teacher, what he likes, and he finds other teachers that like that also, and is willing to accept that kind of leadership, and then they put together a program. And for those students that have that similar mentality, it may work. But if you have anyone with a different mentality, it won't work. Because it's about themselves. It's not... It just doesn't work.
As you said, if you don't put... It's not directed towards Krishna, then what you say, rag, it becomes...
It becomes whimsical.
That's exactly what... current level of education system.
Yeah. Just because we use a methodical method for our whimsicality doesn't make it less whimsical. Like that. Certainly. One cannot force a person to become a scholar, but sometimes force is used in the beginning, right? So that's what vaidhi is. It means you have to do this. A child is forced to go to school and read and write according to the instructions of the teachers. Such is the difference between vaidhi bhakti and spontaneous bhakti. Dormant love for Krishna exists in everyone's heart, and it simply has to be awakened by the regulative process of devotional service. Right? It's there in the heart. By doing the activities of vaidhi, you're doing things connected to Krishna. Then you start to get a taste. Because you're doing it in connection with Krishna, Krishna being pleased, you get some realization. You start to get a taste. Then you want to do more. So that's why the vaidhi is there. It's like a, what do you call it? Trying to, you know, start something that's not starting on its own. Does that make sense? You know, so that you're just creating, therefore, new habits, new things that you'll do. Right? And so then with time, then it just becomes the natural thing, and then with time you get a taste. So that's why in the beginning it's just because you're supposed to, then you become habituated to it, so you just do it, but it'll still be kind of neutral. That's nishta, and then that'll come too, where you get a taste, that's ruchi. So it'll just naturally come across. Like that. And of course, as we said, there's always some taste all along, that's why we're doing. But the volume of taste to what's there is not as much as it can be as it moves forward. Like when we talk about prema, that's like your ultimate taste. Well, here, we'll get some taste, and then that taste may go, and it'll come back, and it'll go. But when it comes steady, then it's basically kind of the same things are kind of happening. But then when it comes to taste, becomes the prominence, then it's all about taste. Does that make sense? You know, so in the beginning it's all about following the rule, then it's all about being steady, then it's all about the taste. But the rules don't change. Does that make sense? You know, it's not that when we're doing, you know, offering, you know, we're offering arti to Krishna and all that with a vaidhi, but when it's spontaneous devotional service, then we start doing it the other way, or then we start doing zigs and, you know, other kind of, you know, like this, you know, expressing ourselves. Or, you know, say it doesn't do that, because that's all still about ourselves. The taste I'm getting from, so it's not art. The taste I'm getting from what I'm doing, it's the taste from pleasing Krishna. So that's why in the material platform there seems to be a taste, because it's a taste that, you know, it improves my identity, my false ego. It goes in line with my impressions, my samskaras. You know, my values. And so it gives a taste that way. But here it's that because you're pleasing Krishna, you're getting a taste of Krishna being pleased. You know, just like prasad, you taste the prasad. Krishna's tasted it, he's pleased. When you take it, you're pleased. So, yeah. No?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the end of Sri Chaitanya Shikshanrita, he mentioned that everything is driven by taste, by ras.
Yes, yes.
Well, what kind of ras?
Yes.
It's up to the individual, whether it's spiritual but vaidhi, whether it's spiritual but rock, whether it's just mundane. But the taste is...
Yes.
Everything is driven by taste.
Is everything is driven by taste, yes.
People can't function
basically. Yeah, because of the ananda aspect of the soul. But in the material world, the best you can get is happiness. But then with that happiness, well, has to come distress. You know? Well, we think, well, why is it? No, I'll just have happiness without distress. Because at least if we said, yes, and so in the material world, everyone's working for distress and happiness. You know, you think, no one's working for distress. But the point is, no, you're working for happiness. Right? Yeah. But without distress, you won't call it happiness. It's only when I remove distress I call it happiness. That's why there's the concept of the negative. Right? It means I have the karma, the jnana, and then the negative view. You know, the impersonalism, Buddhism, all these kinds of things. Because I think it'll be the opposite. So, in getting rid of that, then I'll be happy. So if I say everything's nothing, then I'll be happy. So it's the ultimate removal of misery. And that's their liberation. Well,
when we have realization in Krishna consciousness, something tangible, something you can really feel,
right,
which you experience, how do you avoid thinking, I've realized this because of the endeavor I'm putting it, as opposed to I realization is because Krishna's pleased.
Yes, but the two go together. Krishna's pleased because you made the endeavor. Right? But it's not because of the endeavor that produced the results. So that's why it's personal. It goes both ways. Because we tend to look at it in a mechanical way, that I do this activity, you get this result. But the point is since we're talking about Ananda, you know, that's not a physical result. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna. You have the physical result that came from the mechanics of applying the knowledge of cooking in a cooking environment with cooking ingredients. Right? But it's the whole point of the consciousness that is attractive to Krishna. Because otherwise, if his energies are such good cooks, the point is the energies are his ability. So that's the thing. His ability at anything is such because he's a person, therefore his abilities are also personal. So you can have a manifestation of his ability as his Sarup Shakti. And that expands as then portions of others, and then so they can all do it. Because he is a person, that means his energies, you know, are non-different, are also personal. So the exchange between persons, that's the primary aspect, that's the Icha Shakti. But that's going to happen because he exists, he has qualities, you know, there are activities and purposes that can be done, things that can be accomplished, you know, in his nature. Therefore, then the within the Surup Shakti, then the Hladini is the experience, that taste. But the Samvit and Sandini, they're making the arrangements. And so then you can get a physical arrangement that is an extension of the Samvit Shakti, based on in the environment of the Sandini, or the environment. Right? But it's the experience of that's being done to please Krishna in bhakti, that's what gives the taste. So, because we remove Krishna from it, so then all we have is that mechanical process. So the whole material world is based on the mechanical process. That's why there is no Ananda. Right? And all there is happiness and distress. So since we, you know, as a nature, as a soul, we have to look for Ananda. Right? But the problem comes up is that Ananda is not here. Because Ananda means in connection with Krishna. So we take it that if the mechanics have gone in the proper way and had gotten the result that I wanted, I call that happiness. And removing the obstacles, that's called the misery. You know, and so someone who has a nature in a particular area, those miseries don't bother them because they can see the result. But someone else whose nature is not in that area, they can't tolerate the miseries. Like a bureaucrat can't tolerate the miseries of management. That's why they don't manage and they try to make policies that they don't have to manage. It just obstacles go away by I made this declaration, now they're gone. Now I can sit in my office. Right? So that's the whole thing. That's why everybody has a nature, because the obstacles that, you know, if your nature, you can get a certain result, the obstacles don't bother you. You know, it's just like, let us say, you want to run, let's say, an administration. So you're talking about thousands and thousands of people, right? You know, we have a problem, one person get together X amount of money that we're living today. You have to be able to tolerate getting together the expenses for 10,000, 100,000 people. So when we're thinking, oh, if I can get together 1,000, you know, rupees, this or that, they think in, you know, crores of rupees. I got to get this done, that'll take 10 crores. I got to get this done, it'll take 100 crores. It doesn't bother them. Just like us, the 100 rupees doesn't bother us. For them, the 100 crores doesn't bother them. So that's the nature. So removing that obstacle, then you get your result. But in the spiritual world, that results to please Krishna, so there's Ananda, because Krishna's pleased, you're pleased. material world, it's not for Krishna, it's for you. So simply that I got that, I call that happiness. I've removed the obstacles to getting that result, and so I call that point happiness. So since we all agree that that's happiness, it all goes on. And then when someone notices, I got that, I'm not happy, then either they're, you know, seen as a pessimist, or when there's enough pessimists, then now it's called a philosophy. Right? You know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the difficulty, is that the material is, all you have to do is add Krishna, and then the whole thing works. So whatever you would be doing yourself to find happiness, you simply are doing the same thing now for Krishna. But the point is, since it's about Krishna's pleasure, you know, as we get purified, we'll start to, those mechanical elements that don't produce a result that Krishna likes, we'll start to adjust those. So that's why you change the consciousness, the form will change. Right? Does that make sense? And now if the form's useless, now you start with a form that's useful, that's recommended. So let's say if you're coming from a practicing person who follows the Vedas, then the forms stay the same, you just have to connect to Krishna. If you come from a background where it's not exactly Vedic, then you have to kind of pick and choose, you know, which ones kind of are useful and which ones are not as useful. Is that...
In other words, once you're established in knowledge and you make an endeavor, you also become detached from the result.
Yes.
You leave it up to Krishna whether he reciprocates instantly or 20 years later.
Yes. It doesn't matter. Yes, exactly. Because you're surrendered to Krishna. You're doing your duty to please Krishna. What happens, it doesn't matter. That was Arjuna's point. He wanted to fight for a particular result. But at the end, he just fought because it was pleasing to Krishna. So whether he won or lost, it didn't matter. The point is he was doing his duty to please Krishna. And so then, because Krishna wanted this all to turn out in a particular way, then it works out nicely. Because Krishna likes, you know, as far as his pastimes, Krishna likes good endings. Because that's the way it works. That's what living entities like. If you're talking about the material world, then you have bad endings. So, you know, again, we go back to the pessimists. You know. Is that what they say? Because they'll say, oh, that's more real. No, but things working out properly, that's real. But you have to see it in connection with Krishna.
Material world tragedy and sarcasm.
Material world tragedy and sarcasm. Yeah, that's the, like we were discussing with the Vedic theater, it's the conjugal rasa and chivalry. The Greek theater is tragedy and sarcasm.
Comedy, they say. But
comedy, you know, which generally means sarcasm. Yeah. Yeah. It's tragedy and comedy. You know, comedy means, you do have the buffoon, but you want the, you know, the more intellectual comedy, which means you're, how you say, you are reducing the social status of someone else's position in an intellectual way. I think it was Churchill. He was making the point that if you're very expert in politics, you can tell someone to go to hell in such a way that they look forward to the journey. Yeah. Yes. Yes, so like what you're saying there, is that it's just being done to please Krishna, because that's the focus. It doesn't mean the mechanics go away. So that's the thing. As soon as it's just about Krishna's pleasure, then it's about, you know, how I'd like to play. So then it's his pleasure, so then what about mine? And so then that's where we have that, you know, that's where we have, so that's sahajiyas. But the point is no, the Sambit Sandini potencies still function according to their position. And so you're going to, but now it's spontaneous because it's just to please Krishna. So then you use those things that will nicely, because you know how to do those things. You only be spontaneous when you know how to do it. You can't be spontaneous before that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, the kid, if he just sits down to the piano, knows nothing, and then be spontaneous, you don't get a whole lot. But after he's gone through his formal education and everything and all that, then if he sits down now, he can improvise. But he's following all the rules and all that. And if you sit down and discuss with them after, you can discuss all the chord movements, all this and that, exactly what you did, what you brought out here, and no problem. But how he went through it was just following the flavor of how it's moving. So that's spontaneous. So it's the Sahaja idea is that because they don't want knowledge and all these rules and regulations, so they throw out Sandini and Samvit immediately and just say, oh, we'll just enjoy the Ladini. But that's for Krishna to enjoy. So again, they're actually a kind of form of Mayavadis. They're sentimental Mayavadis. You know, so you have the attached sentimental, and then you have the, you know, renounced and very dry. So that's your two forms of atheism. You know, so one, we think generally the one side is atheism, the other one's personal. No, it's sentimental. It's not actually personal. It's personal, and means if personal means about yourself, then yes, you can call that personal.
Personal self.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah. So, yes.
Also, seeing the jiva as an instrument, in the sense that understanding the it's the bhakti devi, and then that nourishing of bhakti within the heart is what pleasing Krishna, not the activity directly has no connection with the Lord. Just like it's explained in the Paramatma Sandarbha later, that seeing the devotee suffering, which is being separated from him, compassion arises in the heart of the Lord. And that compassion, through that compassion, then he instills bhakti in the heart of the devotee. And when the devotee nourishes that bhakti, Krishna becomes pleased. And it's that the exchange of bhakti between the Lord and devotee, that's what is the essence of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So, yes. You see, there's the descending aspect. It means there's the aspect of Krishna and the aspect of the Shaktis. So the Shaktis are only going to be pleasing Krishna. So they're going to be acting in a way to please Krishna. But as Shaktis, then there's variety. Because Krishna has unlimited energies, unlimited qualities. Therefore, then variety is then generated, different ways to taste devotion. Right? So that bhakti then will use the mechanical positions of the Samvit and Sandini to express devotion. Does that make sense? So we as an instrument can take part in the mechanics of that, but it's in the mentality of the main thing is the instrumental in assisting the mood. And since that mood is being projected through a particular mechanics, we're taking part as an instrument in those mechanics. Right? So that's the one. The other aspect is that ultimately all this is Krishna. So Krishna, then he gives the opportunity for us to come to him. Prabhu was saying that because the living entity is miserable, not being connected, Krishna then puts him in contact with devotional service, with the devotees. Then if they nourish that, then Krishna is pleased, and then he gives the devotion. So you can say, no, because I did this, but the point is, no, but Krishna gave that in the first place, and if you use it in a positive way, then you come towards Krishna. You don't use it, you go away. Just like the same opportunity for devotional service being taken, that's the pious person. That same opportunity not being taken, that's the Naradama. So just as the devotee is the highest, the Naradama is the lowest. The Mudas, the Asuras, and the Mayaya Pratijnanas, they just ignore the Lord, basically. But the ones who know the Lord's there and oppose, they're the Naradamas. Yes, so they have the opportunity to take up devotional understanding of practice, and they reject it. They're the worst. That doesn't mean a living entity who's taking on bloops. We're talking about they oppose and they say this is wrong. It's not something to do. That's Naradama. So therefore we see is that the devotee, it's that he's cultivating it. That pleases Krishna. And to that degree and intensity he cultivates, to that degree Krishna reciprocates. So you'll get, that's what Prabhupada said, you take one step, Krishna will take 10. But you still have to take the one. Does that make sense? So therefore, because you've taken the one, that pleases Krishna. So you can't say the devotee is not working, but you can't say it's because of the devotee, because Krishna is taking 10. So it's so that it comes back to, it's not about the mechanics, it's about the personal relationship. So then Krishna being, you know, the devotee trying to please Krishna, Krishna being pleased, that's the dynamic. Then these other things, these are the mechanics that are used as the natural expression, because Krishna being a person is, and you know, he expresses these energies, so he is existent, so it's not that he just exists in nothingness, he is everything. So therefore then in that environment, with those qualities, with that knowledge, activities are performed and all that. But the important point is that interaction between the living entity and the Lord. So, dormant love for Krishna exists in everyone's heart, and it simply has to be awakened by the regulative process of devotional service. One has to learn to use a typewriter by following the regulative principles of the typing book. One has to place his fingers on the keys in such a way and practice. But when one becomes adept, he can type swiftly and correctly without even looking at the keys. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not that he's not hitting the right key. It's not that he's just going like this and then whatever he wants is coming up. You know, yeah. Similarly, right? Nice.
It reminds me of my Krishna or secretary. I was doing the correspondence. All this stuff is taking it. But I do fast. So what if the job is getting done? Who cares if I look at the screen and I talk with three fingers? The job is done.
Yeah, yeah.
Then one time he was typing his own essay and he was talking at the same time. He said, how can you do this? I was prophet secretary.
That's the difference between accepting the whole process and going through it.
And part of the process.
It cannot become spontaneous. You cannot reach the level of spontaneity.
Yeah. that's so far out. Similarly, one has to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service as they are set down by the spiritual master. Then one can come to the point of spontaneous loving service. This love is already there within the heart of everyone. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Right? So let's say one avoids the spiritual master or jumps over the spiritual master, the previous. So then it means they've given directions, rules and regulations, and you can follow those. But it says you can come to the point of spontaneous devotion. You'll never come to spontaneous devotional service. Because the point is the first rule is you have to start with your connection. Right? So even though you perfect all those other things and you can do them all very nicely, it won't give the result until it's connected. The connection is then through your acharya. Does that make sense? So therefore then, Srila Prabhupada is there, we follow Srila Prabhupada. And we follow then serve the devotees and how to serve Srila Prabhupada. Then it works very nicely. Otherwise then it won't work. We jump over that, go to others, it just won't work. It can't. Because it's not the process. Right? Right. Spontaneous service is not artificial. One simply has to come to that platform by rendering devotional service according to the regulative principles. Right, so anybody who's on the spontaneous platform, they went through, if they were conditioned, they went through the regulative principles. Then they come to that platform. So you even see the acharyas, when they come and perform their pastimes, they start off as a sadhaka and then come to spontaneous devotional service. Some may, you know, take longer to manifest that. Some, like Narottam Das Thakur, it might just be a bath, you know. You know. But the point is that they show that there's a progress. They start with the one, then go the other. It's not that he was on spontaneous devotional service, then he went and take a bath, and then he came back, he was a Sri Vaishnava or something. Right? Oh, yeah. Thus, one has to practice hearing and chanting and follow the other regulative principles by washing the temple, cleansing oneself, rising early in the morning, attending Mangal Arti, and so on. One does not come to the platform of spontaneous devotional service in the beginning. He must adopt regulative service according to the instructions of the spiritual master. This regulative service is called Vaidhi Bhakti. So, if you just immediately you are absorbed in devotional service and you just like to do because of that, then that's great. It means you did regulative devotional service in a previous lifetime. And now this lifetime coming in contact, you just immediately are great. But if that doesn't happen, immediately, then you follow Vaidhi. Well, which do I follow? If you're asking, Vaidhi. Right? Does that make sense? 222.110. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. O descendant of Bharata, O Maharaj Parikit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma, who is the Supreme Controller, and who always removes the miseries of the living entities, must always be heard about from reliable sources, and he must be glorified and remembered by one who wishes to become fearless. Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.15. It is one's duty to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the hearing process. This is called Shrotavya. If one has heard properly about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his duty is to glorify the Lord and preach his glories. This is called Kirtitavya. When one hears about the Lord and glorifies him, it is natural to think about him. This is called Smartavya. All this must be carried out if one actually wants to be immune from fear, right? Because fear means that you're not situated in your relationship with Krishna, so then you're fearful of being entangled in the material world. Right? 222.111-113. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, from the mouth of Brahma, the Brahminical order has come into existence. Similarly, from his arms, the Kshatriyas have come. And from his waist, the Vaishyas have come. And from his legs, the Shudras have come. These four orders and their spiritual counterparts, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, combine to make human society complete. One simply maintains an artificial position in the four varnas and ashrams, but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He falls down from his puffed up position in a hellish condition. Interesting. Puffed up position in a hellish condition. Footnote 49. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.2-3 was spoken by Sri Chamasa, one of the Navayogendras, in response to King Nimi's query. These verses are also quoted early in this chapter in text 27 and 28. Right, so you have your social counterpart, points, Brahmashatya Vaishya Shudra, and their spiritual counterparts. Because they also have their position and how they move up like that. So in other words, there's the spiritual progress, and then there's how you'll maintain yourself socially. There has to be a hierarchy, otherwise how you'll organize things. Right? Like that. So it's about the individual performing their duties, and they will get that benefit from those duties. But you have to also have the cooperation. Right? So as individual, you have what is your duties. But then you have to be able to see your duties in the context of others' duties. Right? So that becomes then, as it said here, that's what the Varnashram system is for. So just an official position, then you see it's pride. So when people talk about, oh, it's not prestigious or this and that, that's a puffed up position. And then you're seeing things in that mundane condition, that means it's a hellish condition. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana. There are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna Conscious Movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regulator principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. One may sell books or enlist life members or render some other service, but these duties are not ordinary duties. These duties serve as an impetus for remembering Krishna. When one goes with a Sankirtan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he is going to sell Krishna's books. In this way, he is remembering Krishna. When one goes to enlist a life member, he talks about Krishna and thereby remembers him. Smartavya satatam vishnor vishmartavyo na jadhu chit. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna, and one must refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna. These two principles form the basic background of Krishna consciousness, right? So many regulated principles are there so you remember, so many are there so you don't forget. So if something to be avoided, then that is what will make us forget. And something that's recommended, that's what will make us remember. Does that make sense?
As you mentioned the other day, the devotees actually do chant 64 rounds. They chant 16 in the morning, and then they chant the other 48
in service. Yes, that's the 64. So it's just that, and the idea is that's just a stepping point to 24 hours, right? 16, then you're able to be engaged in Krishna service. That makes the 64, and then by that, then you'll always be able to chant. So you're always thinking of Krishna, always serving. Yes. Udriti, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 12. Lord Vishnu is to always be remembered. Indeed, he is not to be forgotten for even a moment. He is the sum and substance of all regulative principles. Yeah, so all regulative principles are to know Vishnu. Because that's there, the potency of them. Because the point is, if you can only know Krishna by his own revelation, that means the process by which you're knowing him must also be Krishna. It can't be something else. Right? It can't be karma and jnana, and then it turns into bhakti. It already has to be. And that bhakti is one of his energies, so it's non-different from him. So therefore, he is the regulative principle. So we'll say, oh no, we don't have to worry about these. Then, okay, so what are you doing to always be remembering Krishna? You know, if we just chant, we thought, are you chanting now? What are you doing now? So that's why the regulative principle is there, to either be remembering Krishna or so you don't forget. So. The conclusion is that when all the rules, regulations, recommend and prohibited activities revealed in scriptures are taken together, the remembrance of Lord Vishnu is invariably the essence of everything. Remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's heart is the goal of devotional service. When devotional service is performed purely and affectionately, there's no question of regulative principles. There are no do's and don'ts. Right? Because do this, don't do that is formal. But if you're doing it out of purely and affectionately, it's not a do and a don't. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the mother is doing something for the child, you know, feeding them something like that. So things that they like, they're giving. And things that don't, they're avoiding, or ways they want to eat them, or this or that. They want to eat it on this plate, or sitting in this, or with that cup, or, you know, all these things, you know. Then it's not a regulative principle. Like, because I remember once when we started the school up when you run before you actually open.
Pilot.
Yeah, when we were piloting for a year, I think it was 2001. So then we took on, originally I did one to take one student to try it on, and then there were another five people trying to get in the school. So he said, why not just take all of them, six? You know, it's a small enough group you can work with. And so I remember one day, you know, the one of the kids came, you know, when the mother came, and that she explained for like 10 minutes what you have to, all the considerations that we had to know for him to eat. But for her, they were just natural and spontaneous. Right? And for us, it was, here's the food. Hungry, you eat it. Not hungry, don't eat it. Hey, you know, it's just a matter of time before you get hungry. So, you know, you always see is that, you know, there may be all these considerations if they're at home because, you know, mother will take care and it's so much more fun. But at the school, as everybody else is eating and you're not eating and you're hungry, and so then you just start eating, and after 3 weeks, generally most of these things go away.
You know. You start eating Moody and milk.
Yeah, you start eating the Moody and milk and, you know, all the things. You don't pick out all the tomatoes, you know, and stuff. But it was interesting. That's what it says. Purely and affectionately. So the mother is doing things because out of that affection and all that, then you see it's not rules and regulations. But if the mother tries to explain to something to someone else, it's a huge volume of, you know, talking for 10 minutes. How many pages would that be? That would be a lot of pages. You know? Like that. And so, you know, and this is what you have to know to do that. Hand that to the babysitter. It's like, oh my God. Yes.
The thinking is an action to the language which you use daily.
Right.
Yeah. Without even thinking about it.
Right.
When you try to learn another language, there's so many rules, and it's like, it's like I have
mind-boggling.
Yeah, and I have an idea, like I'll never understand that. I'll never be able to speak. But then slowly it just happens.
Yes, yes.
So we're using the language and everything by rules.
Right.
But we don't think about it
yes.
that way.
Yes, so that's spontaneity. Yes. That ability, just like, let's say, you're just talking. So then you're with a friend and you're just talking. There's a mood. So you're going to talk. You know, activities, and you're going to use words that match that flavor. Okay? So let's say you're telling a story, right? And you just have one of your close buddies with you, right? And so it will have its natural, colorful expression, right? Now let's say, you know, because both of you are smiling and like this and see a good interaction, then, you know, one or both of the wives think, oh, what's happening over there? And they come over and sit down. You know, what's going on? Oh, we're telling a story and all like that. So, yeah, so we'll listen. So now, does our choosing of words and things change? Because it follows a mood. So it's all about the mood. You know, you can get it down to where you're on the point, you know, picking out word, you know, that same thing, you know, it's like a, what do you call it, the T900, you know, just all those things come up like that, and then it goes down and chooses. As you're talking, you're choosing this word, that word, and this word, and all that like that, and you're watching, you know, as a smile comes up, you keep going that way, as it starts to go down, you know, okay, this one, and like that, and try to get it, and, no? Yes? Yeah, so, like that, it's working. So that's the whole point, is that by nature we're spontaneous. It's just that we're only spontaneous in connection with the material energy, in connection with ourselves, either directly or extended or whatever other foolish dharma, artha, karma, or moksha we're interested in. So that's why then, you know, like you said, a new language, then it is mechanical. But it gets to the point where it's spontaneous. So the same way as we're spontaneous here, we get to the mechanical, and then spontaneous in the spiritual. There's the same, yeah. Good example, yes.
So for us, it seems that the Vaidhi and the Rag, they are not two separate processes that we follow. Is it two features of the same process?
It's two features of the same process.
But then for others, the confusion comes that for others, practitioners or spiritualists, they follow Vaidhi, or they follow Rav. It's like two separate things.
Yeah, but that's not the way it works. Because you can't do rag until you've done Vaidhi. Because they can say, we're just a rag marg. But the point is if you're saying we're a rag marg, that means that, no, this is the rule we follow. Or we don't do Vaidhi. But that's a rule. That's a Vaidhi that we don't do Vaidhi. So it's always, I always find it amusing watching people trying to explain their spontaneous platform by quoting Shastra, by saying this must be done, without this won't happen, you know, this kind of things like that. I always find it very amusing because they're just quoting Vaidhi and then saying they're spontaneous. So therefore, Vaidhi Bhakti, Raganuga, Vaidhi Bhakti, Ragatmika Bhakti, they're all one line. You know what I'm saying? It just becomes more specific and more properly connected. Is that clear? 222, 114 to 118. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. I shall say something about the various practices of devotional service, which has expanded in so many ways. I wish to speak briefly of the essential practices. On the path of regulative devotional service, one must observe the following items. So is this going to be the 64 items? Yeah, okay. One must accept a bona fide spiritual master. Right, so it just starts there. One has to accept the instruction of the Vaishnavas, right? Two, one must accept initiation from him. Three, one must serve him, right? Serve means then following the instructions. That means you find someone, you hear from them, you have that faith, you take shelter, and then you now seriously practice. Four, one must receive instructions from the spiritual master and make inquiries in order to learn devotional service. Five, one must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. Right? So, as Prabhupada points, means follow the directions given by the spiritual master. So that means, by following the directions given, you follow the directions given by the spiritual master of how you're following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So you follow in the footsteps of the previous acharya through your acharya. So that's going to be the position. And especially when you have the founder acharya, they're going to establish how you approach all the acharyas. What position they're playing in the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's established that. Then he says, the next steps are as follows. So in other words, without those first five, then that establishes you. Then you have the next five. One should prepare to give up everything for Krishna's satisfaction, and one should also accept everything for Krishna's satisfaction. One must live in a place where Krishna is present, a city like Vrindavan or Mathura, or in a Krishna temple. One should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together. 9. One must fast on Ekadasi day. 10. One should worship datri trees, banyan trees, cows, brahmins, and devotees of Lord Vishnu. Right? So, in other words, you're situating yourself. Now that you've taken shelter of the spiritual master, following the, you know, initiation, following the instructions and everything, now it moves to the next point is then you surrender to Krishna, follow what's favorable, give up what's unfavorable, right? You're going to live in an appropriate place that's good for Krishna consciousness, like that. You're going to then adjust your lifestyle that centers around Krishna consciousness. Like that, you're going to follow Ekadasi, and then you're going to worship, you know, Tulsi, the Brahmins, the cows, you're going to have to respect others. So respect is very important. Without respect, then you can't really properly be situated. So those who don't have respect, they'll have difficulty. To that degree they have respect, or the areas they do have respect, those areas will go smoothly. Where they don't have respect, that will then create problems. Right? Yes? Oh. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.